Pirkei Avos, Vav, base. This is 6:2, and here we meet Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was a very late era Tana, or maybe an early Amora. He was actually perhaps a student of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, so he's at the very end of the Mishnah period, or the early parts of the Amoraic period, and he was one of the tzaddikim of his generation. The Gemara in Ksuvus, Ayin Zayin, says that the rainbow never appeared in his generation because of his righteousness. His chus protected his whole generation. So he says, his point here is going to be two sides of the same coin. He's going to make the point that people who could learn Torah but don't are doing something really, really reprehensible and essentially insulting the Torah. And on the flip side, people who do learn Torah are elevated and exalted, and therefore, of course, one should take the opportunity to learn as much Torah as he can. Inside the Mishnah says, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, B'chol yom v'yom baskol yotzes mehar chorev u'machrezes v'omeres. Every day, a baskol, this means like a heavenly voice. It's not nevuah, prophecy. Prophecy is referred to as a kol, like the pasuk says, v'yishma es hakol medaber elav. Moshe Rabbeinu heard the kol, the voice speaking to him. This is a baskol, like a child, a derivative of the heavenly voice, of a prophetic message. Maybe it's an echo, if you will. In any case, I guess the tzaddikim can hear it, and he's saying what he hears there. And it comes mehar chorev. Har chorev is Mount Sinai. It's called chorev, is another name for Mount Sinai. The Gemara in Shabbos Peites says, Lama nikra har chorev, why is the mountain called chorev, besides for Sinai? Sheyarda chorva la'ovdei kochav malav, because upon it descended the destruction of the pagans, the Ovdei Kochavim. So this a similar kind of idea is coming here, that there's a sort of there's an indictment for those who don't accept, uphold, and learn the Torah. And although that Gemara is talking about people who are non-Jewish, here we're talking about people who are Jewish who still could learn Torah but don't. So Har Chorev is the place where their indictment comes, and it says, announcing, Oy lehem lebrios me'elbona shel Torah. Woe to all of humanity because of the insult, the injury that the Torah suffers. Why? Because people could be learning, but they don't. And that is an insult. And says the Mishnah, Shekol mi she'eino osek b'Torah, nikra nazuf. Anyone who could learn Torah, but chooses not to, he's called nazuf. Now nazuf, nazifa means sort of to censure or punish. Think of it as like a person, you know, saying like, you know, I don't want to even look at you. Go to your room and stay there for the night. You no dinner for you. That's like nazifa. It's like a low level, like banishment, or not quite excommunication, but it's on the verge of the lowest level of a nidui, of a excommunication. So he's called one who's been banished, meaning Hashem dismisses him, and this is a direct consequence. He did it to himself. He could learn Torah, which could elevate him, but he doesn't. So therefore, he essentially has chosen to banish himself from the proximity to Hashem, so to speak. Now, the reason why this should be seen as like an insult to the Torah, there's really two kind of approaches. One approach is, these are both my metaphors, but they're based on the Mefarshim, is, you know, if a person, a boy, gets engaged to a girl and he gives her a beautiful ring that was expensive that he invested in, and the girl doesn't want to wear it. So he feels bad, like, what do you mean? I got you this beautiful ring, why won't you wear it? What's the problem? So the same idea that the Torah, so to speak, is this kli that Hashem used to create the world as a pinnacle of existence. It has everything that Hashem holds near and dear to him, so to speak. And if you don't want to learn it, like, what? Why not? Hashem gave us something very special, and it's a great insult to just sort of not take an interest in it. The other approach is, the Torah essentially is our ticket out of Olam Hazen into Olam Haba. It really is the way by which we can actualize our potential and establish a real, lasting relationship with Hashem, which would give us nitzchis, eternality. That's our schar, where you have a possibility of transforming ourselves from being just a basar adam to something which used the physical world to cleave back to Hashem. And the guidelines and the guidebook and all the avenues to make that happen are embedded in the Torah. So for a person to not be interested in learning Torah and being transformed by the Torah and understanding the Torah and connecting to Hashem through the Torah, so like, he's not interested in doing something in his life. He's really just choosing to like be, you know, wallowing in Olam Hazem, meaning sort of trapped here. So he undermines the purpose of his creation, again, sort of an insult to the Torah, which is his ticket out. So therefore, he's called Nazuf. Now, Shenemar, the proof text here is kind of a funny proof text. We won't prove that he's Nazuf, but it gives a pasuk from Mishlei, and it's sort of like an analogy. Now, the pasuk says, Nezem Zahav Ba'af Chazir, a golden ring in the nose of a pig, a swine, Isha Yafa Vesaras Tam, a woman, a beautiful woman who has sort of lost her reason. So the idea here is that something which is intrinsically beautiful, that's the Talmud Chacham. In the context of the Pesukim here, of the Pesuk here, it's a Nezim Zahav, a golden ring, or an Isha Yafa, a beautiful woman. So there's a beauty and specialness there, but even though it's got intrinsic beauty, it has sort of lost its way. It's, you know, something on the outside of it undermines, external factor undermines the beauty that could be there. So the Talmud Chacham, there's a beauty that could be there, but he opts not to connect further with the Torah, so essentially he made himself sort of repugnant, like a Nezim Zahav Ba'af Chazir, a beautiful golden ring, which is in the nose of the pig, when the pig goes and, you know, snuffles him out, sticking his nose into the trash heaps, so the golden ring gets filthy and disgusting, and therefore even though it's a golden ring, no one wants anything to do with it. So you're like, if someone gave you that ring, you'd say, ugh, not me, Nazuf, I'm a pass. Same idea with the Isha Yafa, a beautiful woman, but Vesaras Tam, she's sort of lost her reason, so she's like a crazy beautiful woman. So who wants a crazy, crazy woman around? So even though she's a beautiful woman, people say, I'm a pass, because she's lost her sense. The Talmud Chacham is called, like, that he's Saras Tam, he's lost his sense, because the idea is that he, by not learning sufficiently, doesn't know the Ta'am, the reason, the rationale behind the various Dine HaTorah. If he would learn more, he would know the Ta'am behind them, but he didn't, so he doesn't. Va'omer, and furthermore, we're sort of seeing a second point here, that in terms of this, really focus on that second idea, the sort of the lost opportunity where the Torah is our way to transform ourselves and connect to Hashem, but we're sort of ignoring it. So the pasuk says, "V'haluchos ma'ase Elohim heima," the tablets on which the Ten Commandments are written, the first set of Ten Commandments that were written on the first of Luchos that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down from Har Sinai the first time. So they were ma'ase Elohim; they were Hashem made them personally, whatever that means. V'amichtav michtav Elohimu, and the writing, the script on those luchos were like Hashem's writing. The Gemara says there was sort of this incredible, miraculous aspect to it where it could be viewed from all four directions. In any case, so they were charus al haluchos. That writing was engraved on the tablets. Now, I could have said, and probably should have said, charus baluchos. It was engraved into the tablets. Why is it on the tablet? So this extra al, the word al, allows for a drasha, where Chazal see a second or secondary meaning in this pasuk. And since the Torah, of course, has no vowelization, instead of saying charus, you could read it as cherus. Charus means engraved. Cherus means freedom. And therefore, the drasha is, and this is quite a very famous drasha, I think, that it's, we read al tikra charus, don't read it as engraved onto the luchot, but rather something like cherus. There's freedom, existential freedom, which is available to a person, like al yadei haluchos, through his attachment and investment in the Torah, symbolized by the luchos, the tablets of the Ten Commandments. Shein lecha ben chorin elamisha osik b'talmud Torah. You haven't got anyone who's a ben chorin, someone who's truly free, who is someone who's, you know, spiritually free, existentially free, other than one who is osik b'talmud Torah, one who's involved in the study of Torah. Now, there's two basic approaches to this. One is essentially that the study of Torah essentially makes a person rise above the challenges and difficulties of this world. He's like rise above this world. We actually had a Mishnah, if you remember back in the third parak, in my Mishnah, it's parak Gimel Mishnah Hey 3:5, and it says over there that Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana Omer, Kol HaMakabel Lav Ol Torah, anyone who accepts upon himself the yoke of Torah, I explained that back then, what that means. Ma'avir memenu ol malchus v'ol derech eretz. They take off of him, they remove from him the yoke of the government and the yoke of derech eretz, earning a living. So the idea is that his physical, material, worldly concerns are lifted off him if he's committed to learning Torah. And the idea is the same thing over here. A person becomes free because he's liberated from those kind of those burdens. The other approach is that a person essentially is, you know, it's not that the external factors, the umos olam necessarily that keep us enslaved, but rather what bogs us down is the seor shebe'isa, the yetzar within us, our shortcomings, our personality flaws, and the way to overcome them, to learn how to be a person who has the right values and learn how to, you know, rise above his Kina and his taiva and his desire for kavod and his interest in physical material things, all that, the ticket out is Talmud Torah, is this Torah study. And therefore, by a person involved in Torah study, he liberates himself from the shortcomings which make him sort of spiritually enslaved, to liberate himself, to become spiritually enlightened and uplifted. And therefore, the ticket is the Torah, which is the Cheirus al Yedei Haluchos, the Cheirus and Luchos, the freedom that's available to Luchos, which you achieve through Talmud Torah. Now, he goes on to say the other side of the coin, the first half of the coin was one who could learn Torah but doesn't, and now he says, V'chol misha osik b'Talmud Torah, anyone who could study Torah, hareze mis'ale, he is elevated, he's exalted, he raises himself up. Shneamar, this is also a drasha, it quotes a pasuk, this is from the quite a poetic segment in Chukas and Bamidbar Perik Chafalaf, Psukim Yurches and Yotes, where the pasuk says, Umidbar Matana, a gift that came from the wilderness, from the desert. It's referring to in context to the well of Miriam, but here we're going to learn it as essentially the gift of the Torah which came from the desert at Har Sinai. Umatana Nachliel, Umanachliel Bamos. So literally, like the translation, if you're writing English, explaining the Pashup Shah of the Psukim there, it means they received this gift of this well, this Miriam's well, which followed them to the desert, and from that gift accompanied them to Nachliel, a Nachal. It's like a wadi, like a riverbed. Nachliel, Hashem's riverbed, if you will. So down, follow them down to the valleys. And from the valleys, Menachliel, Bamos, up to like the elevated places, like the higher places on the hills. But the drasha here is that a nachala is like an inheritance. So Nachliel can be read as like Hashem's inheritance, the legacy Hashem bequeathed and passed on to us. That's the morasha, the Torah. So we get this gift from Hashem in the Midbar, and then from that gift, we get the Nachliel, one who invests in the Torah, gets the legacy that Hashem wants to pass on, Umenachliel, and from that legacy, Bamos, one gets elevated to the high places, meaning he raises himself up to be exalted over all of creation.